Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard, your host from FanRag Sports and NDTScouting.com, along with Trevor Sikkema from PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Trevor, it is Fan Friday. We got questions. We hopefully have answers. We'll at least have some semblance of an answer. Are you ready for the first one?
More ready than I will ever be, John. So fire away.
You may take that back, because the first question is from Mark Schofield, and it is Mason Rudolph the best quarterback prospect since Marcus Mariota?
You know what? I mean, like, why stop at Mariota, though? You know,
just go back to Luck.
I mean, he might be the best prospect since Dan Marino. Really?
Honestly, I don't. Who's to say no? Whom's to show us the lie?
Who is to say no?
That's what I wonder.
No, absolutely not. I think Mason Rudolph was like either my QB1 or QB2 going into the year, because I liked a lot of what I saw last year. I was kind of enamored by how well he threw the deep ball, how often he threw the deep ball. And, you know, this year he kind of just proved that where in that Big 12 offense with those wide receivers in that kind of philosophy, yes, he could push the ball down the field every now and then. And I think he does have good placement at times. Certainly not as consistent as what he needed to be, and didn't. Though he can like get the ball down the field, like velocity is a different thing. He doesn't have like that same matching kind of velocity on like shorter or intermediate throws.
Right.
So no, he's not the best quarterback in this class, and he is not the best quarterback since Marcus Mariota.
Good question.
But
there,
I did have fun memeing that idea last night on Twitter.
Yeah, check Tampa Bay Trey Twitter handle and you'll see why that question is being jokingly asked on the podcast. Who is going to get drafted higher than they deserve because they had an excellent combine, but their tape doesn't match? I'm going to go with Lorenzo Carter. And not that Lorenzo Carter will even be a bad football player in the NFL, but if you watched his combine, this guy performed. He jumped and he ran at an elite level for a 6'5", 250-pound guy. He's a crazy athlete. It just hasn't translated to the field in 4 years at Georgia. That's frustrating, I think, because he played a good bit. This was a good defense. They had a lot of talent. He just couldn't produce. Like, he just didn't. And he didn't get to rush the passer as much as I would have liked to have seen him rush. But when he did, he was ineffective. He doesn't have a go-to move. He doesn't really know how to bend the edge or work the corner at all. I think that he has a hard time getting back inside, too, as a rusher. So maybe he's an off-the-ball guy. But again, he's big for an off-the-ball guy, but he can clearly run. He's not going to have a ton. I mean, he has experience dropping into zone coverage and things like that, just shallow flat coverage. But no, there isn't a ton of that level of experience. I think I did see him carry some wheel routes this past season. I mean, there's no question he can run. I honestly probably would play him off the ball, I think, because developing him as a pass rusher is going to be a lot of work. And I think he is an aggressive player. If you can get him to think the game at linebacker, he might be his best spot. But that's the guy I'll go with. I think he's going to get drafted top 50 for sure, based off his athleticism. And I just don't see a top 50 type player on tape.
I might go with Bo Scarborough because I think he's going to – like, I think his combine is going to get him drafted higher than what he would have had he not obviously had his combine performance, which is kind of weird because, like, we already knew he was kind of freakishly athletic for a dude that big. But, I mean, I think his combine numbers are going to make people forget, like, how upright he runs or that kind of a thing. Like, they're going to – the little things about his game that don't make him – so sought after as a running back, I think people are going to
forget.
At least one NFL team is going to kind of forget just because of his size and his athleticism.
Well, teams love the big back. They've always, you know, his size.
Yeah. Like said, and I mean, and like, I'd take a chance on Scarborough too.
I'd take a chance on him in the third day. His injury history scares me.
Yeah. Which I think Scarborough is going to get drafted before day three. So,
yeah. Well, there you go then. Where does Nathan Shepard fall into this defensive tackle class for you? Man, I don't know. I should probably let you go after me because I watched him last night. I finished up his evaluation. He is a late round three type of player for me. I love his energy. I love his athleticism. I love his strength. I love a lot of the things that he offers. This guy's motor is insane. He was gang tackled. That's holding is too nice a description a lot in college. He has to work on his hands. His pad level is way too high. He pops straight up out of his stance all the time. So there's times where he gets knocked off balance, even though he's playing guys way weaker than him, way worse than him, just because he's so frenetic. So I think that in one-on-one situations, he's a guy that will look really, really good with all that space to work in. But in a game-like situation, he's not really efficient in his movements yet. He's got development to undergo, I think. But he's super talented. I would take it to his frame is unreal. And his motor, and he seems like a great guy from their brief interactions with him.
Yeah.
I would take a chance on him in round three. He's not going to play year one, though,
yeah,
for sure. Like, hardly at all, I think.
I'm doing my rankings a little bit different this year. I'm going into a lot more detail where it's not just like I'm going to have a flat defensive tackle mm-hmm. like ranking. I'm having like kind of 3-4 or like 4-3 or, you know, inside outside, all that kind of stuff. And so like Shepard's kind of up and down a little bit for me, but he is one of, if not the top overall interior defensive lineman for me. And it's mm-hmm. for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned. I'm just a little bit higher on those than you are. And it seems as though like some of the criticism, it's valid. I mean, like, yeah, he pops up and he does need work on his leverage and things like that. But I also think, I mean, like, what kind of coaching is this guy gotten?
Right.
You know, like if this is basically raw Nathan Shepard from playing college football in Canada for 1 year and mm-hmm. Fort Hays State for 2 years, which nobody even knows where Fort Hays State is, then give this guy NFL coaching and I'm okay with it.
Right.
So like you said, for those reasons, I think the body composition that he has, the natural strength, all the motor, who he is as a person, because I've gotten a chance to meet him now. Like I'm betting on that guy. He is one of, if not my top interior defensive lineman.
Zach Hicks asks, where do you guys think Dante Pettis and Rashawn Evans go come draft time? I know where I like them, but I have no clue how the league values them. I think Evans goes 20 from somewhere from 21 if Buffalo stays there to 35-40. Unless there's concerns about his
I think there's too many too many teams that need a linebacker there at the end for him to not go first round, right?
I think so. There's a lot. Saints, Steelers, Eagles could need one. Patriots could need
right.
one even. They have other needs, but yeah.
Pettis, I don't really know.
I have no idea. I really like Pettis, but there's a reality of a small receiver, a small framed receiver who struggles with bigger cornerbacks.
Third, fourth? I don't know.
I think third round at earliest. That's just a total guess. I've heard he's a great athlete, but he hasn't ran. I don't think he's going to run. I know he's not running at Washington's Pro Day unless he does a private workout later. We'll see what happens, but he's banged up. His frame is very small. We saw that. His frame is not big at all, and he is very much a finesse receiver. Where teams see that, I think they'll see a lot of what he does and put him in the slot. I think he's a good player, though. I love his tape. I really do. I think he's super technical, and he has great hands. I think he's going to have a long career in the NFL. Who are the two safest wide receiver prospects? I'm guessing Ridley is one. Good question. Safest. I think if Deshaun Hamilton caught the ball more consistently, I would say Deshaun Hamilton because his game translates so easily.
That means he's not safe.
Right, exactly. He does everything right.
You can't say if a receiver caught the ball better, he'd be safe.
I just mean his game translates really well to the NFL. Like, he's a great route runner.
Sure.
Great separator.
No, I know, but it's just funny.
There's no risk in terms of him technically, but yeah, he doesn't catch the ball that well. So I don't know how many teams will be pissed about that, but I'll still go. I'll go Deshaun Hamilton. I'll go Anthony Miller. I think both those guys translates really easily. I mean, Calvin Ridley too, for sure, but I'll go with those two guys because I think they're the most technically refined.
Yeah, I mean, Calvin Ridley is probably one.
I didn't know if you were going to say Auden Tate.
It just depends. I mean, it depends.
Is Auden Tate going to play tight
like
end?
A safe process? Maybe. Being safe all depends on like your outlook on them, right? I mean, like if you have the appropriate outlook on Calvin Ridley, then yes. I mean, he's already basically shown you everything that he's going to be. So like technically, like, yeah, he'd be the safest.
Right.
If you didn't think that Auden Tate was that athletic, but you liked him, Auden Tate's a safe pick for you, you know? Right. So that's Calvin Ridley for sure. I don't really know a second one because a second one would all depend, like I said, on your perception of a player. Like if you had already thought somebody and he confirmed it at the combine, then yes, technically he's going to be quote unquote safe for you because you already know what you're getting. So that's probably, yeah, there you go.
Good choices. How do you guys view Akram Wadley? Also, who do you like more, Kerryon Johnson, Sony Michel, or Darius Geis? Second question, I go Geis, Michel, Johnson. You as well?
Yep,
and,
agreed.
Wadley is... Ugh. Dude, I don't know. You, like, if you're Akram Wadley, you've got to be athletic because you are pint-sized and you don't play bigger than your size on tape. And he wasn't. He was 5'9 and 7/8, 194 pounds, and he ran a 4.54. And he has sub-30-inch arms, and he has 8 1/4-inch hands, and he is in the smallest percentile for running back basically across the board. Yeah, and he's not very athletic. Yeah, I think he has some ability in space. I could see him making a roster, but it would not surprise me if he goes undrafted and doesn't make a roster. Who is the better player and has the higher potential? Your same way on Wadley?
Yeah, I'm not.
Who is the better player and has the higher potential, Todd Davis or Anthony Hitchens? Wow, interesting question. Also, how annoying is Wade Phillips? He's so good and annoys me because I wish he was with the Steelers. Getting both Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib. Yeah, the Rams defense is going to be straight up off the chain. I think Hitchens is better than Todd Davis. I know you've probably seen, I have not seen that much Todd Davis. I'll just be straight up honest. I saw more Hitchens this year. It looked like it really clicked for him, and I think he's going to be a really good player moving forward. I heard Todd Davis had a great year. In fact, over on Locked On Steelers, I just talked to Cody Rourke from Locked On Broncos last night. We recorded and it posted this morning. And he told me Todd Davis is coming off of the best year of his career. So both guys about to be free agents. I think Hitchens is the better player probably from everything I've heard and seen, but I'll be honest that I haven't seen that much of Davis either. Harold Landry, Denzel Ward, Vita Vey, Derwin James, all likely to go top 10. That's Harold Landry, Denzel Ward, Vita Vey, Derwin James. You think anybody goes top 10?
Okay. What's the question?
Are they going to go top 10?
All of them?
All of them. I don't think
the only one who might not is Vea.
You think Ward for sure goes top 10? Even at his size. He's a freak athlete.
I think Derwin and who's the other one? Landry. I think Derwin. Well, I guess shoot. I guess I don't know.
Man. I think Landry goes top 10. I do.
He should.
He definitely should. He's a premier pass rusher. He's elite athleticism ranking.
I think Derwin. I think we're going to rank him. If we're going to rank him in order of which ones have the highest possibility to go top 10, it's Derwin, Landry, Ward, Vea.
I would agree with that. Yep, and I'd agree with the ranking too. And I think at the end of the day, Landry and James will go top 10. I don't think Ward.
I think Landry. I think James. It's like 98%. I think Landry. It's like 80%.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think Ward. It's like 70%, and then I think Vea is like 50-50.
I see it similarly. If Aqib Talib is a fifth round draft pick, how much is Earl Thomas worth heading to the Steelers or any other team? A fifth and next year's third? Then we can focus on best player available more in this year's draft. What do you think?
I don't understand draft pick value, man.
I don't either. And I heard the Seahawks are asking for the
Mike
house
Renner,
for Thomas.
Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus said this last night. He's like, cap space is a myth. Like, the teams that are good are often the ones that never get above $50 million cap space. And the only reason why they get up that high is because they're about to sign like 3 or 4 of their own guys.
Right.
And meanwhile, the teams that are not good are always the ones that have a crap ton to spend.
Yep.
And I don't know what they're saving it for, but I don't understand. Like, because, and the reason I bring that up is because a lot of these guys who are getting traded, fans are like, okay, well, they're just salary dumps. Like, it's the teams trying to get rid of the salary players. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. There are a lot of really bad teams that have a lot of salary cap.
Right.
And you can trade for them.
Right.
And they just don't do it. So, I don't know. Aqib Talib is worth a fifth-round pick? Sure, I guess, man. Whoever you wanted to... fifth round wasn't worth it if you were a different team.
It's just okay. Super simple. Like, there's no chance that you, I mean, like, I really feel like there's no chance that a guy that the Rams could draft in the fifth round would give them what Aqib Talib's going to give them this season. Now, he could totally fall off the map and he could suck. And if that happens, and that's random and weird because he's played for Will Phillips, I don't know exactly how you use him. And I feel like there's almost no risk at all in this, even though Talib is a little bit older. But let's say he does suck. You lost a fifth round pick. Who cares? You lost probably a guy that'll be cut. Probably a guy that won't do anything.
And people would say, like, well, Right. And people would say, like, oh, well, he costs like $11 million. Okay, you can cut him at any time. Right. His contract lets you cut him at any time. Right. It's the end of a deal.
Yep. There's no loss to it.
And, like, how many years is it going to take for your fifth round pick to develop into a possible contributor anyways?
Right.
2-3?
Let alone starter, let alone
by that time, Tlaib's already gone. By that time, Tlaib's already gone.
Right. Oh, yeah. His contract's up in 2 years, and you can cut him next year offseason. You know, obviously, they're going to keep him this year, but you can cut him next offseason and not lose a penny from it. So, this is exactly what I mean. When you're not afraid to be great, you make things happen and you get quality players. And too many teams sit on their laurels.
It's a good phrase.
In the offseason. Yes, you say that. But that's what the big thing with the Steelers and Earl Thomas. If Earl Thomas, okay, so this, we don't know what the Seahawks are asking for Earl Thomas. I'm sure it's not a first round pick. They're probably one of day two pick for
Earl Thomas.
I bet
it's second.
It might be a second because I heard somebody reported they're asking for a lot. So it's going to be more than Tlaib. So this person asked a fifth and next year's third. Nah, that's not going to get it done for Thomas, I don't think, if the reports are true. And I don't think Seattle's in a position to be desperate. They're obviously shedding. It seems like they're shedding Sherman and shedding Bennett too. But, like, you know, Sherman hits the market. You know, right now, what could Sherman be had for? The Seahawks are going to cut him. Trade for him. You know, trade a fifth for him. Trade a sixth for him. Like, they're going to take that over getting nothing? I just don't get it. Like, there should be no hesitation in my mind, unless there's something wrong with his medical and you can bring him in and see what that's like before you trade for him anyway. I just don't get it. Like, these dudes should never be hitting the market. Somebody should always be willing to trade a fifth or a sixth for a guy like that. I'm not even saying Sherman's like an elite corner in the NFL. I think he's like a second-tier corner, but that's a huge upgrade for most teams in the NFL. Those dudes should never get cut. Never. Firstly, keep up the good work. Question, who do the Titans look at to upgrade the D and to fit Dean Pease's scheme? It's a very good question. Dean Pease coming from Baltimore, retired and then unretired and came back 2 weeks later.
Dean Pease D.
Dean
Pease. Sorry. Geez.
Dean Pease D.
He asked the question, man.
I think that they're probably going to need a linebacker. Rashawn Evans could be a legitimate option for them as well. We talk about the many teams.
They need inside and out, right? From linebacker.
Yeah, I think they do. Yeah. I mean, they have Arakpo and Morgan, so technically they could get a guy later and kind of develop him, Dodd hasn't worked out. They need to be able to move on from those guys though. They're aging and last year they weren't as effective. They still produce because they run tons of twists and stuff like that. But I think you're right. I think edge, I think linebacker. I think another corner, move Logan Ryan back to the slot. I think that's a really big priority too. You know, if I'm the Titans, I hope my offensive line can do a little bit more zone stuff, and I'm rolling with that group for the most part. Like, I'm barely touching the offense. You got Mariota, you got your receivers in place now. You know, you got your running back of the future in Derrick Henry. You know, maybe a day three pick on another running back to be depth, but you got your tight end. Got to upgrade the D.
Did the Titans run more zone or man in coverage? You know,
they did. Who's their DC now? It's Vrabel's the head coach now, right?
Right.
Am I remembering that correctly?
I figured it'd be more aggressive with Vrabel.
Yeah. So Vrabel comes from Houston, where they ran tons of coverages. They did a lot of different things in Houston under Romeo Crennel. So he will probably be multiple.
Because
you say
corner there.
Yeah, corner could be
a possibility.
You say
corner there, and like, but I don't think they're. I don't think that they would want like. You know, like, for example, like Alexander would mean that they would have just three really short corners, right?
Yeah, that's what'll be interesting because, like I said, Vrabel comes from Houston. I don't know how much of this was his philosophy, but Houston, all their corners were bigger and longer a little bit now with Joseph and Kareem Jackson.
So, like, Josh Jackson would be a better possibility there, is what I
asked. Yeah, potentially. We'll see how much press man he wants to run. You know, the Texans did a lot of different things, but they did have three first round corners. So, they were able to run man coverage, or at least that was their hope. And 2 years ago, they were really good at it. I don't know what he'll do if he'll adjust to the fact that the Titans don't have that kind of talent in a corner. You hope Adoree Jackson can be that kind of guy. I bet we see a decent amount of man out of them. But if Logan Ryan can go to the slot, then I don't know. Yeah, it could be looking at. We'll get a good taste for what Vrabel prefers in his corners in this draft because they're going to probably take one pretty early, I would imagine, unless they sign one in free agency. If you rank every position by value, where is running back on that list? Ooh, man, tough question. I think it's more opinion-based. I think it's better to do it in tiers. So quarterback is tier one. After that, to me, is edge pass rusher, would be number two. And I think that in that tier, you could include, for certain schemes, cornerbacks, and then you would include, I would include offensive tackles.
Yeah.
Those would be my top four position groups. And then after that, I think it depends on your offense a lot. You know, wide receiver, running back, the guys who contribute, you know, skill-wise to your offense would be leadoff tier three to me, probably. If you run a ton of single high coverage, you need a free safety, that would probably be high on the list.
Yeah, it starts to get pretty scheme dependent. But right. I think running back would either be in, like, the lowest tier or the second to lowest tier, no matter who you are.
Yeah, I would agree.
Like, running the ball is important in the game of football, and everyone has to have it, but there's so many running backs.
And if you have a great offensive line, the amount of special qualities you need in a running back diminishes, I think. Like, if you have a great offensive line and a great scheme and great play calling situationally, you can survive with just a solid running back.
Yep.
What do you think about the Chargers drafting a running back in the second or third? The Chargers? Is that too high for John Kelly? Who would be the best for behind Gordon for a 1-2 punch? Yeah, I would not draft a running back.
The Chargers?
Yeah, I don't know. They have that kid too.
You're appalled mid question.
I'm insulted. Well, they drafted that. Obviously, they have Gordon, but then they drafted what's his name? The small school kid that like lit it up for them. Aaron something. I'm looking right now. Austin Eckler. He was really good for them in a third down. Backup.
And they got Cardale Jones at fullback.
Cardale at fullback. But for real, Derek Watt at fullback. I don't know. I think they're fine. Maybe day three, you know, obviously if some great values on the board, but I wouldn't draft a running back for the Chargers. Thoughts on the NC
values, like Walmart brand.
Thoughts on NC
like Walmart brand prospect. Great value. Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry.
We need to, you can tell it's Friday. Just got to wrap it up. Thoughts on the NC State defensive tackle tandem. Are they overrated due to the play of the edge tandem? Still have John McCargo drama. McCargo is what he played with Mario Williams. And who else was on that D? I can't remember. They had like another unbelievable D line that year. Same as like this year with, you know, Chubb playing the Mario Williams role.
BJ's good though.
BJ Hill's good. Justin Jones is solid too. Hill tested like the better athlete. Guys. Yeah. I like both those guys. I do. And I asked BJ Hill this in Indy. I said, who's the better pass rusher? Who's the better run defender? And he said, I'm the better run defender. Justin's the better pass rusher. And then I asked Justin the same thing. I told him what BJ said. And he said, no, that's not true. And I said, are you better at both? He said, I'm definitely better at both. And he was not laughing.
Jeez, man.
Jones was not laughing. BJ was chill about it. Justin Jones was not laughing. He was like, he like looked over at BJ's podium and was like, we're having words after this. But Jones went out and tested. Jones tested poorly, and B.J. Hill tested really well. I think that B.J. Hill was right. He is the worst pass rusher of the two, but he has more potential. Jones is shorter. His arms were longer than I expected. He has a smaller frame, more compact frame. He is not really broad, space-eating type of player. And he tested below the 50th percentile on everything except the 40-yard dash, which he was in the 52nd percentile. So he is just a very
That's a little personality test there too.
What do you mean? Oh, by asking
if one of them is lying?
I will say this. Jones has his moments in both, so I get where he's coming from. Jones comes off as much meaner, his demeanor to me, which I kind of like. But I think BJ Hill will be a great guy in the locker room. He has an unbelievable frame, and he tested really, really well. But the problem with BJ Hill is that you put on the tape, he is just not a good pass rusher. I don't know how else. I mean, he just has no plan, no nothing. It's not an effort thing. He just says, I mean, he doesn't. And again, he tested really athletic. He was in the 91st percentile for the three cone, and he's 6'3", 311 pounds. He has terrific frame. I mean, 33-inch arms isn't huge, but his frame's really good. His jumps were not good, and I think that lack of explosiveness shows up on tape. But again, at 311 pounds, this guy ran sub-5 in the 40. I mean, he can move. And so 35 reps on the bench, he's powerful. He has to check his pad level at times. But again, for a taller D-tackle, I think he plays well. I think he's a third, fourth-round pick that definitely plays in a rotation and is a starter for some teams, but can definitely play in a rotation. Jones is definitely more hit or miss to me. If he gets with the right coach and develops his hands a little bit more, I could see him in like a penetrating role because he's a much quicker first step than BJ Hill. I still don't think it's, I don't know. I think he has limited upside though, other than that. So that's my thoughts. In what order do you rank the top four centers and why? Price, Ragnow, Daniels, and Cole. Ooh, I actually don't want to answer this question yet because I have not finished Ragnow or any of these guys really, but I've really seen very little of Daniels, although what I've seen, I think he will be my number one center. I haven't really been that impressed by Price or Ragnow in terms of the first round talk that Price gets anyway.
Cole, I would go.
Cole.
If you don't want to answer it, I would go Price, Daniels, Ragnow, Cole.
Okay. So. Right. Oh, so you like Price. Okay. Yeah, I like Price. He's tough.
Dude, did you hear his quote after he tore his pec? He's like, they were like, oh, you know, is this going to set you back, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. Because he tore his pec, for those who don't know, on the bench press when he was repping at the combine. And he had a little interview afterwards, and somebody asked him about, you know, if it's going to be a setback or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you'd have to put a bullet between us Buckeyes players' eyes to get us to stop playing football. It was like, okay, that's a trench player.
Let's go. Draft him. We've heard about top five quarterbacks ad nauseum. Can you guys talk about a few others, please? Well,
Damien. No. Next question.
Yeah, no, just kidding. my big thing with these other quarterbacks is that they hardly ever end up being good, so they're not worth a ton of time and attention, in my opinion. Every Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, and Kirk Cousins, there's a gazillion of these dudes that don't work out. I think those are the only four franchise, and we don't even really know about Dak yet. Those are the only four franchise caliber type guys to be drafted outside the top 40 since 2000. That's it. I mean, you have Matt Schaub for a little bit, but those are your guys. So, I mean, it just ends up being a kind of a waste of our time. Having said that, they're important to look at and still address to make sure that they don't have that type of, I really don't see that guys with that type of talent. I think that there's more spot starter guys that will maybe win a game for you if you have a great team and solid backup types than there are in most drafts. But I don't know. Do any of the other guys catch your eye outside top with five we talk about?
Luke Falk's totally system guy. Just does not have the arm. That's a legitimate worry about air raid quarterbacks is that sometimes you just, you know, you basically like teach the position out of them and you make them really good college players. And I mean, like Luke Falk just can't play.
I agree. And Jason, I don't know getting this day two talk on Luke Falk. I'm lost.
Could not be me. JT Barrett obviously won a lot of games at Ohio State. I mean, he's a baller in that regards, but you know, he has a limited arm. It's not the most accurate arm. I like who he is above the shoulders, but like you still got to have the arm, and I just don't think that JT Barrett has the arm.
He's also the slowest. He's the slowest processor from the pocket, which worries me for a backup.
Yeah, I mean, like I think he'll be around in the NFL because again, like above the shoulders, I think teams are gonna just, you know, want him around either on a practice squad or in the quarterback room or something. He'll stick around for a couple of years, but we'll see after that. I mean, Tanner Lee was at the Senior Bowl, had, I think, two of the nicest deep ball passes that I saw all week, and then he also had, like, four of the worst picks that I've seen all week. So, just, you can't have a quarterback like that. You might love the flashes. You can't. Yeah. You can't make mistakes.
Don't listen to the hype on Mike White, on Luke Falk, or on Tanner Lee. That's all I'll say. I think Kurt Benkert is interesting as a developmental guy. I'll say that.
When he plays Miami,
his Miami tape's unreal. I think Kyle Laletta is interesting as a backup type, you know, maybe spot starter. His arm strength is a legitimate concern. He cranks the ball up when he has to throw it. It's really unusual to watch. I don't know. Austin Allen doesn't do much for me. Haven't seen Logan Woodside. I think Barrett's super limited. Brandon Silvers was very meh in the Senior Bowl.
I actually kind of like Austin Allen. Do you?
What? Really?
Yeah.
You haven't talked about this.
A little bit.
Wow.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
Save it for your other podcast, maybe.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
Listen, we can't dilute the quality of content by you hyping Austin Allen on this podcast.
Dude, QB3, baby.
Oh, why? Would you have Austin right Allen behind, over Josh Allen?
Right behind Mason Rudolph, who is right in front of Marcus Mariota in this class. So I think my quarterbacks for this year are Rudolph, Mariota, and Austin Allen.
Sounds about right. The one guy that's interesting maybe is Chase Litton. I know Kyle Krabs over at NDT Scouting really likes Chase Litton. could be a possibility. I don't know. He's interesting. I know he's a big arm. I've seen very little of him, so maybe there's your interesting guy. All right, one more. With Harold, we've already answered Harold Landry question. Do we got a lot of Harold Landry questions? Does Harold Landry go top 15? I think we said yes.
Yes.
Better prospect.
If he gets past the Packers at 14, they pick the wrong guy.
Yes. Better prospect, Derwin James or Minkah Fitzpatrick? I'm going Minkah.
Derwin James.
There it is. Real quick, why do you pick answers. Derwin?
I think Derwin is just an absolute freak athlete. And though I love Minkah Fitzpatrick as kind of this jack of all trades, but in a good way. Like sometimes you talk about players with versatility and they don't really have a true position, so they almost get lost in the shuffle. I don't think that's a thing. I think that Minkah is a key chess piece for a defense. Yes, yes. And with the right defense coordinator, I think he could be really good. However, James is much more physically gifted. I think Charles Kelly played him in an absolutely terrible way over the last 2 years at Florida State. You know, James can do everything from be a box safety to have range downfield. He knows how to man up tight ends in the slot. He can even play linebacker. He can rush the pocket from the edge. I just see too much of an athletic advantage. Even though I love Minkah, I think there's too much of an athletic advantage with Derwin James. I think he's a freak. I think he's one of the better players and athletes that we've seen come through the draft in the last couple of years.
I feel that way about Minkah. And I think that Derwin is very good as well. But to me, Minkah's, I think he's more explosive on tape to the ball. I think the dude has just jetpacks in his ankles.
He's decisive, how I would say it.
He's very decisive, yeah. Derwin is a little bit more methodical. We're still talking about a great athlete and a guy that I really like. And remember, coming into the year, I was skeptical about Derwin because he had like two games on tape from his sophomore year. And his freshman year, he was like around the line of scrimmage all the time, you know, most of the time anyway. So it was like, and his freshman tape was kind of hit or miss. So it was like, well, what do we don't really know anything about this guy except that he's supposed to be a great athlete. So I was like, let's calm down the hype that he'll be a top five pick. And then everybody went the other direction. It felt like in season, like everybody was like, Derwin sucks. Like he's a day two pick. And I was just like, whoa, like things changed really quickly. And then I watched his tape from this year. I'm like, what was the problem? Like he missed a couple tackles. Who cares? You know, it's not Minkah missed a couple of tackles too. If Florida State had been better, the narrative around Derwin would be a lot different. But Alabama won the national championship, and there's the narrative difference. But I like Minkah more because I think he is a more explosive player to the ball, and I think he is more likely to convert to an outside corner or play an outside corner in certain situations for you, which is really important. Could follow a number one type receiver around the field potentially. Get, at least if that guy's going to the slot or whatever, can erase him a little bit more. I think Derwin has those capabilities, but I like Minkah to be able to step outside and really be the bigger chess piece, I think, maybe. Both are really good players. Both are really, really good around the box, which I love. Love the fact that they can play in the slot. Derwin is so sticky in man coverage. Minkah's a little bit more boom and bust is the wrong way to say it. He'll give up a little bit more than Derwin, but I think he'll also make a couple more splash plays. That's kind of how I see it. Both guys, really good players, though. Really good questions this week. Loved your guys' questions. We'll be back next week. We've got bracketology, NFL draft bracketology. We're going to break it down for you. We are going to find, by the time March Madness starts on Thursday, the official tournament starts, we are going to have picked out for you the best player in the 2018 NFL draft, and the evidence will be undeniable. Excited to do that next week with you guys. Until then, you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.